Paul writes a verse here. This is a verse that just umbrellas everything we've been talking about in terms of prayer. And I just want to back up because we talked about this verse a few weeks ago, but this is just so important to try to understand it. Here's the verse from Paul. Don't be anxious about anything. You can almost just stop right there. Because how can you live a life not being anxious about anything? Really? Really, Paul? Don't be anxious about anything, Paul says. But in a spirit of thanksgiving, present your requests to God in prayer. And the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts in Jesus Christ. So here's the thing with prayer, and this is why it's just so important to try to understand how Jesus prayed. Because Jesus said, you can pray like I pray. He said, I'll teach you to pray. We've been talking about it. He said, you can pray like I pray. And this is why it's so important to get it. Because if we can pray like Jesus prayed, we'll have a peace that passes all understanding. And that's what people want. That's what we want for our lives. So that's just backing up a little bit, just to give us a little bit of context around the importance of prayer. Here's the verse we're talking about. Just one verse. That's it. Give us this day our daily bread. We just prayed this. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, I know there are some people here who are thinking, that's wrong. You're praying wrong. It doesn't go that way. Some of you are thinking that. Give us this day our daily bread. That's right. But the next part should say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against each other. Some of you are thinking that, right? Two different translations meaning the same thing. And what it means is that forgiveness is really important to Jesus. That's what it means. That Jesus wants forgiveness to be woven into the fabric of each day of our lives. Now, the daily bread part is kind of important too, and that just means that God will give us what we need. And I want to bring a question to you in about 10 minutes, maybe less. Really important question in terms of God giving us what we need. Now, these words for Jesus don't come out of a vacuum. We need to understand why Jesus is praying this, and it's because Jesus remembered a story that he learned growing up. It's a story from the scripture that he had, and it's a story about God providing and God forgiving. And Jesus believed that story so much that he called God Father. Like he believed so much that God would provide for him just as a parent would provide, and that God would forgive him just as a good parent would forgive a child. He believed that so much that he called God Father. That's how that prayer began, our Father who art in heaven. A little more context. Communities of people have defining moments in their past that give them an identity. Okay, for instance, 1972 Canada-Russia series. That's a defining moment in the identity of Canadians. Because it was huge when Canada beat Russia, a defining moment. Another one would be 1993 when the Blue Jays won the World Series. That's two sports analogies, sorry. I'll try something else. How about the American Civil War? It's a defining moment that gives America an identity, and it becomes a foundation for everything that they are. And in the Bible, there are defining moments that give communities of people their identity. For instance, the story of Abraham, where God asked Abraham to leave everything that he knew and take the hand of God, and God would lead him to the promised land. And Abraham said, okay. Abraham walked by faith. And that story became a defining moment for Israel and the people of God, because it was all about walking in faith with God and getting to the promised land. But it's a defining moment because it's relevant to us as well. Because we still have that invitation to take God's hand, and God says, I'll lead you to the promised land if you just trust me and we get there. So here's the story that Jesus learned as a boy that gave him the context to pray, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. And it's a story from the book of Exodus, And many of you know this story. It's the story of Moses leading the people of Israel through the parted waters of the Red Sea to freedom. Now, when the people got across the sea and into the Sinai Desert, they were free, but they discovered soon that they didn't have anything to eat. And so they complained to Moses. Moses, we don't have anything to eat. Why don't we just turn around and go back to Egypt? At least there we have something to eat. Here's a little cartoon for you. Moses is leading the people of Israel through the desert. And if you don't laugh, that's okay. This didn't work at the 9 o'clock service. The people say, I'm bored. See, they're just complaining. He keeps stepping on my ankles, one says. Are we there yet? Another one says. She's looking at me, another one says. And Moses says, I'll turn this Exodus around if I have to. Well, thanks. So the people are in the desert. Here's the context. They don't have anything to eat. They're complaining to Moses. They're complaining. And then God sends quail. Quail. And in the Bible, in that story, in Exodus chapter 16, it said quail covered the ground and the people had something to eat. And then the next day, in Exodus chapter 16, it says there was a dew that came down on that land. And when the dew dried, it was like flakes of frost. And the people found that they could eat it. Like it was an edible thing that came down. And the people called it manna. And so manna became a symbol for the people that God would provide. And that formed their identity. That was their foundation, that for whatever they were going through, they just knew that God would provide. And Jesus knew that story when he was growing up. He learned that story, and that gave him a context for when he prayed. He said, give us this day our daily bread. Now, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, this is not pleading with God to give us what we need. This is not, God, please give us what we need to, because I'm just not really sure. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. I'm not really confident, God, so every day I'm just going to come and I'm just going to plead, God, give me what I need today. This is not that, and it wasn't for Jesus. What this is a statement of faith that Jesus knew that God would provide for people. Now, it's not easy. No one said it's easy to have that faith. When storms are around us and things are going wrong and in a world that needs so much, and for every person here today that's happy and doing really well, there's another person here today that's really struggling. And this message that God will provide is hard to take into deep places of our hearts. And there's loneliness and uncertainty of the future. You know what a stormy world it is. And you know the story where the disciples are on a boat in a storm and they're calling out to Jesus, and Jesus comes and calms the water and says, how could you not have believed that I would provide for you? Why did you doubt? How do we know? So what I want to tell you is that such a big part of reading the Bible and knowing what the Bible is just looking back on stories of the people of God and seeing in that that God provides. That's what we do when we read stories of the Bible. Within those stories, there's just story after story after story after story of our ancestors and our family of faith being provided by God. We just look back and say, God provides, and God will provide for us just as he has provided. Now, we can look back on what's happened in this church in the last 6 months. We can just look back and see evidence in the same way of how God has provided. The annual meeting, we looked at the annual report. Hopefully many of you did too. And in the annual report, there are reports of all kinds of different ministries and programming and outreach. And many, many people contributed to the annual report. And at the end of the report, we discovered that for the first time in a lot of years, we are way ahead of our budgeted amount. We had a surplus. And it's kind of like, I kind of stand back and I look at that. And for all the worrying that we can do sometimes, I just look at that, it's like it's just, God provides. God provides through who you are, through what you do. Another example, the Easter story. This is an amazing thing. But Patty, is Patty here? Where's Patty? She's not here today? She's on the beach? Seriously. Okay, well, she deserves it. And I'll tell you why she deserves it, because she is the drama director for the Easter Story. Now, listen, about 2 weeks ago, she had about 7 disciples. And it's kind of like, we need more disciples. And so she asked a few people, Kimberly, like a lot of, and we went just asking people if they would like to be a disciple in the Easter Story. They stand up there, and it's full costume, and they imagine what the disciples were talking about in the last few weeks with Jesus. We only had like 7 disciples. Well, we have 12 disciples now. And I stand back, and I go, what? It's like Jesus coming on the water. Like, God provides through what you do. God provides. The March break is just another example. Like, these are just examples in the last couple months. The March break, Kimberly and Julie and their team, a bunch of people said, we should do a March break for the kids. Just to have kids come, no cost, they come, they learn musical theater, and then they present it, which they presented last Sunday. If you were here, you would have seen the kids present that. It was a brand new thing, brand new. Well, a couple of weeks before that started, there were like 6 kids registered. We're like, oh no, how do you get kids? Like, that's not going to happen. Well, 18 kids were registered finally, and they presented, and it was amazing. It was like just amazing. And I stand back and I look again for all the worrying we do in our lives, and that's just a microcosm of just worrying we do. I just stand back and I'm like, God provides. So here's the question. When we hear the biblical message that is so important, God will provide and God will give you what you need, here's the question. What is it that you need? Do you ever ask yourself that? What is it that your church needs? What is it that you need as an individual? And if a child you loved came up to you and said, what is it that I need to be happy? And it may not be a son or a daughter. Think of a child that you loved and asked you that question. What is it that I need to be happy? How would you answer that? Like, what is it that they need? What is it that you need? My mom used to say to my dad, Ian. And she said that because my dad's name was Ian. She would say, Ian, would you like pie for dessert? She would say. And that was back in the day, some of us will remember, some of us are too young to remember, when every supper ended with a dessert. Remember those days? And it was always mom that made it. Remember those days? And it was always stressful because for my mom, it's like, oh, we're going to have for dessert. Ian, she said, would you like pie for dessert? She said, and my dad said, I want it, but I don't need it. The sage man that he was. If you look back on your life, you remember things that you thought you needed desperately. And now when you look back, you discover you know you didn't need those things. And that starts when we were kids. It's just human nature. For Christmas, when I was 8 years old, I wanted a smash-up derby set. You remember those? I didn't get it. I was just devastated. But in my little 8-year-old, like, mindset in life, that was huge for me. I just thought I needed that so much, and it just continues. When you put an offer in on a house, and it has everything you want, it's the perfect kitchen, it's just the backyard, the whole thing, and then it doesn't happen. And you're just devastated. And as you get older, there's all kinds of things. He's got that kind of car. She's got that kind of relationship. There was a relationship you remember that you thought you needed more than anything, and you asked her to marry you, and then she said no. Or you just, he didn't want to like commit to you, and then he moved out of the country, and you were just devastated. And now you look back, and you can see it just wasn't that important, that car, or that toy, or that house, or even that relationship. It wasn't what you needed. So what is it that we need? What a good question. I mean, just to be self, well-adjusted adults. Like, even if we're not people of faith, even if we're not, whatever, like, what is it that you think you need in your life? Jesus said, God knows what you need. Well, what is it? And in the book of John, as Mary Ann read, Jesus said something quite remarkable. Jesus said, Can you move it to the next one there? Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Anyone who comes to me will never hunger or thirst. I am the bread of life. Look. The people remembered the story of the manna. The people remembered that God would give them what they needed, that God would provide for them. And now Jesus is saying, I'm the manna. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And when Jesus said that to the people, they didn't understand what he was talking about. What's he mean, he's the manna? Just as much as we might wonder what he means. But in time, many of them and many of us have come to see that whatever Jesus brings is the bread of life. Everything that Jesus represents, his teaching, his actions, his resurrection, everything that Jesus brings into our life is what we need. What do we need? We need the things of Jesus. For instance, Jesus brings hope. Jesus says, when your life is crumbling around you, or when you have an illness that there's no cure for, or when you have someone a child that has left and you don't know where they are, or whatever it is in your life that is just causing you uncertainty, Jesus said, if you trust that God will lead you through that, God will lead you back to still waters and green pastures. That's the hope we have in Jesus. Jesus says, when things are crumbling, please remember that there is a bigger picture. Like, you don't understand how big God is. And that in God's time, God will give you what you need. If you be patient, it's the hope that we have in Jesus. Or the bread that Jesus gives could be vision. We need the vision of Jesus. We need the vision of God. We pray in this church for vision all the time. And Jesus said the Holy Spirit will guide you onto the right road if you just trust. Trust that God will give you vision. You need vision for your life as individuals. Where are you going to be next month? Where are you going to be next year? Doesn't matter if you're 75, 85, 20 years old. Like, what is the vision you have for your life? And Jesus said, God will give you that vision. The women's group here. There's a brand new women's group here. Finding their wings. And they are asking now, what's the vision we have for our group? That's the question they're asking. What will we do so that we can move into the future and be faithful to Christ? Lord, give us what we need. This is what we need. Give us today this bread, this vision. And forgiveness. Forgiveness is what we need. It's right there in the verse. Give us forgiveness. It's a prayer that we pray. Make forgiveness important in our lives. And we know that we can carry around guilt for years and years and years. It was my fault that we separated. It's my fault she left. I mean, we just carry guilt around. And Jesus said, look, the first part of forgiveness is knowing that God forgives you. All you who are weary, and it doesn't matter what you did, all you who are carrying heavy burdens, come to me and I'll give you rest. And so what we need is the bread of forgiveness. The line, forgive us, ends with, as we forgive others, as we forgive our debtors, as we forgive our trespasses. There are two great challenges, and this is what we finish with. There are two great challenges in the Lord's Prayer. The first great challenge is asking God's strength that we might do God's will. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done, not my will. That's a great challenge, and that's not an easy prayer to pray. And the second great challenge is forgiving others who have hurt us as we have been forgiven. And so I finished with the story. It's not my story, it's Jesus' story. Once there was a master who had a servant. And the servant owed the master a huge sum of money. And the servant knew he could never pay his master back. It was way too much money. The master called him in one day, and the servant was afraid because he thought the master was going to ask him that the money be paid back, and he'd have to sell everything he owed. He didn't know if he'd be able to keep his family together. It was a huge amount of money. And he walked into the master's house and sat down, and the master said, I have grown to love you over these many years. I love you. And you're not my servant anymore. You're my son. And he said, I'm going to cancel your whole debt. You don't owe me anything now. The slate is wiped clean. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how that servant would have felt? It was so much money that he could never have paid it off. He could never have paid it off. And the master just canceled that debt. The servant walked out of that house elated, as we can imagine. And no sooner had he left the front gate of his master's house than he ran into a fellow servant. And that fellow servant just happened to owe him a small amount of money. And he grabbed his fellow servant by the coat and he shook him. And he said, pay back that money you owe me. And the fellow servant said, I don't have the money. And he pleaded that he can have more time or that he can be forgiven of that debt. And the master servant shook him and said, you pay me back that money. And he threw him into debtor's prison. And Jesus' audience that day, listening to that story, were thinking exactly what you're thinking now when you hear that story. That man is a complete moron. Like, can you imagine anybody ever doing that? Can you imagine anybody who's been forgiven so much not being willing to forgive someone else? And they were probably well on their way home, those people, before they realized that Jesus was talking about them. Forgiven so much but not willing to forgive their neighbor is a huge challenge. But Jesus said it is possible. It is possible to forgive as we have been forgiven. And Jesus said, it is possible to provide for others as we have been provided for. And Jesus said, that's what you need. That's what you need.